Tonight we're going to look at CCM, or contemporary Christian music, and we looked at a little bit of the history of music, so let's see what's taking place here. CCM, what is it? How do you define it? It is a genre or a type of modern popular music which is lyrically focused on matters concerned with Christian faith. So if it's any type of Christian words, other than, they don't count songs that are in the hymn book, but if it's a new song and it has Christian words, it's called CCM, and it's a huge marketing issue. The term is more specifically used in reference to the actual Christian music industry. It's an industry, it's a marketing item. And God tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So whether therefore, God says to do everything to His glory, and we need to make sure the music that we're using glorifies God. And somebody says, well, all that matters is the words we learned last week. No, the music is more powerful and more important than the words. So if the music doesn't glorify God, but the quote words are done to be spiritual, the music can overpower the words, obviously, and so hopefully last week's lesson. God says, whatsoever you do, that would definitely include music. Then God says here, a testimony. Okay, a student from Ohio says, when I got into secular rock music, I was bombarded by many sensual thoughts. Why is that? Because rock music, we learned by the musician's words, rock music is sex. What is it? It's the beat that appeals to the body, and then it takes it. So he said, I was bombarded by many sensual thoughts. Those that think that Christian rock is okay because of the words are wrong. When I listen to that type of Christian music, I have the same reaction. I had Christian rock, and I was opening my Bible as a young Christian, and I had, you know, Petra, and if you don't know who that is, praise the Lord, but, you know, I had that playing. I couldn't get anything out of my Bible. And I noticed that, and that's how God taught me. But you can't play that junk and get a spiritual response, because it's designed to activate your flesh, okay, in a bad way. God tells us to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. Look, if the music you're listening to, like the young man just testified, if you're having bad thoughts while you're listening to it, then hasn't it proved itself that it's not good? Yeah, but it's Christian. Be careful. Prove all things. All right? Here, there's five criteria for a song that, you know, I'm going to use an acronym MUSIC tonight, okay? M-U-S-I-C. So we're going to say there's five criteria that a song needs to pass before we allow it into our ears, okay? MUSIC and stands for meaningful, not trivial, and I'll go through these with you. It needs to be untainted, or not worldly music. It needs to be spiritual, not carnal. It needs to be inspirational, not degrading. And it needs to be clear, not confused or disguised. So we came up with an acronym, and maybe you've seen some other things, but thought this would help us to remember. So as we look at this, it needs to, first of all, be meaningful, not trivial. Godly music will contain lyrics and instrumentation that are full of beauty, dignity, reverence, simplicity, worthy in the praise and worship of God. It says in Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe before Him. So the music that we use to, quote-unquote, use in church, use in our Christian lives, it should be meaningful. It should be meaningful. And Stan Moser, he's former head of Word Records. If you don't know who that is, that's CCM. It's a major recording company. Amy Grant recorded with it. He's the CEO of Star Song and pioneer and executive of contemporary Christian music. He said this, watch this. To be candid, I look at the majority of the music I hear today and think it's virtually meaningless. He's talking about CCM. It's virtually meaningless. There's a growing chasm between CCM and the church. He said it just all sounds the same, just a bunch of garbage. This is from a person that produces it, okay? He says, between what's actually happening in the real world of ministry or even in the music ministry of the church and what we're doing in CCM. In fact, I'd probably be more inclined to call the industry commercial Christian music rather than contemporary Christian music. Okay, that's coming from, and a lot of the people are saying that who've been in it since the 80s when it sprung up. Okay, it started in the 1972, but the 80s is when it really took off with Amy Grant. And now they're saying, well, I got more quotes, so watch this. A former CCM artist, he wrote this, "For 3 years I sat under the sound of biblical teaching, and those years revolutionized my life. Very soon I learned what the gospel was, and as soon as I did, doubts arose in my mind as to the suitability of rock as a medium for the gospel." He said, "When I saw the seriousness of the gospel, Jesus died for your sins, was buried in a tomb, and rose again," he said, "I saw the paradox of using a non-serious medium to try to convey it." So you're going to use to convey a serious message of, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. They don't go together. That's why when CCM is allowed in a church, it changes the spirit of the church. It brings an attitude with it that dumbs everybody down. Instead of, when you come to church, it ought to be, wow, we're going to hear from the Bible. We want our hearts touched from the Lord. It ought to be a serious time, right? Ought to be, you know, we're not, you know, super formal, but it ought to be worth sitting up and paying attention to. Not, yeah, time to get out the cappuccino, put the jammies on, put them, you know, them shower shoes on so I can sit in the chair. And, you know what I mean? In other words, you don't want it dumbed down. You want it to bring the reverence that's needed, okay? So the musician realized that his Christian music, despite his good intentions, actually communicated a non-serious or casual attitude in the listener. Meaningful, not trivial. Remember, godly music will contain lyrics and instrumentation that are full of beauty, dignity, reverence, and simplicity, worthy in the praise and worship of God. What would be the opposite of meaningful? Trivial, right? Goofy, foolish, okay? To give you an example of that, this first song is, what if all the cartoons got saved? Fred and Wilma, Yabba Dabba Doo-ya, okay? Okay, goofy, weird stuff, okay? Like this. What if cartoons? That's a pretty popular song. Fred and Wilma. Okay. Goofy, right? Now, okay, the music is bad, the music is sexual, but the words, is that something like, might be goofy, you know, while you're changing the tire on a car, but it's not for church, right? It's trivial, okay? Now the next one, a little heavy, but it's called Put a Little Love in It, okay? Okay, that's enough. This is called It's the End of the World, But I'm Fine With It. It's the End of the World, But I'm Fine With It. Okay. I play those for you so that you can understand that is what's played in churches. Do you understand? That's not like off of somebody's stereo at home. That's what's played in church. I know what some people have said. They said, I wish you wouldn't play the examples. From the 1980s until now, all we've taught on is music, and this is how we've done it. Just stick with the Bible, show you what's right, and leave it alone. And we haven't played examples. When I got saved, and people were teaching on music, they gave examples. My wife said the same thing. When she was a teenager in her youth group, the person came to the youth group, gave samples. They quit doing that for about 30 years, and I don't think it helped anything. Okay? So I'm not here to poison your brain. I am here to say, okay, watch what happens when we take the music that we just listened to and we put it with meaningful music. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's supposed to be, music is all supposed to be untainted. Godly music will lead us to think in biblical patterns. It will not seek to imitate the world's ways. It'll be untainted. Now, what you have to remember is God does tell us to abstain from all appearance of evil. And I don't mind reminding you, music is Satan's specialty. Remember, nobody knows music like the devil. He was God's song leader. He was created for that. So when you deal in the realm of music, if you aren't careful, you'll get deceived. Because it's the devil's specialty, right? So music should not lead you to pride and vanity. Music should not ever take the place of your prayer and devotion. Music is today a Christian idol, because your heart and my heart is so wicked. You can be listening to music that talks about him, but it's all about you and how it makes you feel. And when that happens, it's an idol and it's wrong. That's how wicked our heart is. We're singing it, we're listening to music about the Lord, but we're picturing us singing it in front of everybody, you know, and us getting the attention. That's idolatry. We're not singing, we're not listening to it for the, it's not drawing us closer to God. It's making us more proud. It's making us more self-centered. So be careful. A 16-year-old student from Oklahoma, she says, I began to listen to Christian rock without the blessings of my father. He told me that if I listened to Christian rock, it would open the door for Satan. I just laughed and listened anyways. It then developed into secular rock. It totally deadened my Christian growth and led to terrible immorality, rebellion, and rejection of God. Watch. Now all I can do is go back and pick up the pieces, but I still have a scar in my life that will never be removed. You're right. God forgives your sin, and God forgets your sin, but you don't. And that's called Christian regrets, right? She says, I got to live with this now for the rest of my life. I was warned, but I wouldn't listen. CCM and non-denominational churches, they all say the same thing, but we're drawing the world into the church to get saved. Yet the Bible tells us in John 2:15, love not the world. God tells us a church is a called out assembly. We're called out of the world to assemble. We're not supposed to bring the world into the church. We go out, we go soul winning, we tell people about the Lord, we bring our converts to church, but we don't want the world in the church. We don't want their dress standards. We don't want their language. We don't want their music. You leave the world and you assemble as a church. That's the whole idea of a church. Somebody said, well, we need to reach the world. I wasn't told to reach the world. I was told to preach the gospel to every creature. But we're trying to draw people in. So let me get this straight. You're trying to make an atmosphere where lost people are comfortable. So what do you have to do that? You got to turn it into an entertainment center, right? You got to change the music. Look, we do what we do here on purpose. I purposely read the Bible at the start of a church service on purpose. Not just because, well, that's just, I thought through it. I want an atmosphere in church to where if you want to get close to the Lord, you can. And if you don't want God, I hope you feel uncomfortable in church. If you're living like a rebel, I hope you feel uneasy. I'd hate for somebody fighting God to come to church and go, yeah, this is the place where I want to be. I don't want you hanging out here. The atmosphere we do here on okay, the songs we just sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. It was on purpose. Totally different from the junk that I was showing you, right? We're not trying to get the world in the church. If you want what we are, and you're sick of what you are, and you're sick of the devil and the world lying to you, then yeah, God's got the answers. But for you to live a filthy life and then come in here to church, yeah, I hope you are uncomfortable. Amen. I hope the Holy Spirit's dinging your bell. Amen. Because isn't that what's supposed to happen in church? I came to church to hear truth. I want to know where I'm blowing it so I can get right with God. Amen. I don't want to be told how wonderful I am. God is just so glad. Okay. At any rate, totally different philosophy. Jesus did say, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. He'll draw all men unto me. Neat verse in Jeremiah with our Sunday school lesson on Jeremiah this weekend. Watch this. Jeremiah 2:33. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? How come you're changing what you are to get people? Well, people aren't going to church anymore. Don't change what you are. Don't change God. Don't change the Bible. Don't trim your way to increase the crowd, and that's what they're doing. Well, we need to get more rock music in here, and we need to... church attendance is going down. No, we'll keep on going soul winning. We'll keep on praying. We'll keep on living for the Lord, but don't change what you're doing. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? What a verse in the Bible. Time Magazine. I wish I had the year on this. What is this? 1966, okay? They said, is God dead? Okay, Time Magazine's not a wonderful magazine, okay, just so you know. But in the magazine, it writes, I believe, that is 19... I can't... At any rate, hopefully it'll put the quote on here. It looks like 1966, but CCM wasn't around then. I think it's 96, but anyways. Writes that CCM performers are indistinguishable except for their lyrics from their secular counterparts. Michael Card, he's a big CCM artist, married Amy Grant, then she had an adulterous affair and they got a divorce and all this stuff. But before that, this is 1996. He says, now the industry is celebrity driven. The song is almost irrelevant. The focus is on the person and songs have become disposable. The direction and value system are getting worse faster than any of us could imagine. This is 25 years ago. Okay, it hasn't gotten any better. Bible-based Christian music will help you make melody in your heart to the Lord. Good music guides you to a soft and sanctified heart, not a proud and worldly heart. Right? So Ephesians 5, I'm not going to read all this, but it says, speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is it something you'll sing to the Lord when you're by yourself? That's what it's supposed to do. I hope tomorrow, I hope somewhere along the lines, you could be around your house or in your car and da 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 da. Jesus loves me, this I know. How about another one? How great thou art, how great thou art. You're supposed to sing in your heart and God is your audience. That's good music. You understand? Not yabba dabba do ya. Okay. John Fisher, a prominent CCM artist, he says, we can't assume that when we simply plug in a Christian message, everything's going to be okay. Eminem, probably one of the filthiest people in the music world ever, like one of the vilest individuals that has ever been. Watch what he says. Say there's a white kid who lives in a nice home, goes to a nice school, and is pretty much having everything handed to him on a platter. Watch, for him to pick up a rap tape is incredible to me, because what that is saying is that he's living a fantasy life of rebellion. I'm not sure it could be put any plainer. And that's from a wicked, he's on his way to hell, okay? But he said, really, you're going to listen to rap music? You're a rebel. That's pretty good. All right. I know you got to think about it for a second. Rock promoter turned journalist Stephen Blush. He said this, one thing that's been very distressing these last few months is looking at MySpace. I know this is about 20 years ago, and seeing the incredible number of Christian hardcore and death metal bands. It's staggering. There are hundreds and hundreds of them. That to me is scary. This is a lost man. He's saying, when I watch Christians get involved in death metal, that terrifies me. Because it's so opposite. I'm not even going to play examples of that. You can thank the Lord for that. I mean, it sounds like demons singing. It's vile. Okay? If you could mic hell, that's what it would sound like. This was, he wrote this book, American Hardcore, in 1980 to 86, so obviously. He says here, the one thing in hardcore was everyone pretty much hated church and state. Every hardcore band was blasted by evangelicals as the work of Satan. The churches have co-opted this music makes me think we were right in the day, because to co-opt punk rock to sell Jesus, he said, this is a lost man, he said, that's pure evil. These are lost people that are saying, you don't mix Christian rock or rap, you don't mix rock, rap, or filth with Christian words thinking you're cleaning it up. He said, that's just nothing but evil. Okay? These are interesting. Okay? So we've done meaningful, it needs to be untainted, and then S, it needs to be spiritual, not carnal. Godly music's going to promote and accompany a style of godliness and modesty, encouraging the spirit. It's not going to encourage aggressive or sexual acts or promote carnal behavior. And 1 John 2:16 says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if it's going to be spiritual, the grace of God says that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all of men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay? Anthony Campolo, and I heard him a long time ago, and he's very liberal. Watch what he says. He does a Creation Fest, which is a Christian music festival. He said, being in the back room with many of these famous groups before they go on stage is absolutely frightening. The ego trips they are on and the language they use to hear their hate for others. He's in the back stage with Christian rock groups. And he said, to hear them talk and how they hate other people, he said, there's nothing Christian about them. Okay? Watch the next quote. When showtime comes on, however, they go out on stage with, hey, aren't we together in Jesus Christ and the love we share and blah, blah, blah. He said, it's vile. I heard somebody talking about the Cathedral Quartet, you know, cathedrals, popular in the, you know, late 60s, 70s, and everybody likes Southern gospel. They said, if you ever go backstage with the cathedrals, they don't exist anymore. He said, but man, they're smoking their cigarettes and, you know, they're, you know, cussing and carrying on, but boy, right when they get ready to go on stage, they put that cigarette out and get out there and, hey, we all love Jesus. It's marketing. It's marketing. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today are Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and deny Him by their lifestyle. Mary and Mary, okay, I know this is from 2007, so once again, we're probably going to 15 years ago. These gospel divas, Mary and Mary, talk about secular appeal, sexual lyrics, and their gay fan base. This is supposed to be a Christian duo, okay? They said, when you're a gospel artist and your music is played in heavy rotation on urban radio with a playlist that includes Beyonce and 50 Cent, you've obviously entered the world of secular adoration. They're thinking this is good. We're played with Beyonce. She's filthy. She's demon-possessed. Nasty people. 50 Cent. Oh, I'm sure he loves the Lord with all his heart. Okay? You can't listen to him either. He's filthy. I mean filthy. So they do this. Watch this. With ferocious vocals and urban beats, gospel sensation, Mary and Mary have evolved from the pulpit to the clubs. You know how Whitney Houston, she started in church. And then she took her gifts that God let her develop in church, and she took it to the world, and she sold out. It's called prostitution, when you take and use what God gave you for a cheaper reason. That's called prostitution. It's filthy. You know how many Christians get their start singing in church? Then everybody loves them. Then they make an album. Then it gets popular. And the world hears it. They'll say, hey, if you'll change a little bit and twist here and do this. Wow, God gave you the ability and experience to sing and you didn't use it for Him. Shame on you. You're going to weep a lot of tears at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to wish you never would have done that. Amy Grant regarded her album covers and publicity photos which portray her as a sexy, attractive young woman. The Christian, this is in the 80s. The Christian pop star says, I'm trying to look sexy to sell a record. I feel like a Christian young woman in the 80s is very sexual. Why would a Christian woman try to look sexual? I heard one mother tell her teenage daughter, you sure do look sexy today, honey. For who? For who? What are you raising? A teenage girl isn't supposed to look sexy when she goes outside. She's supposed to look good for her husband. But hopefully that ain't now. I'm amazed. The idiocy. You sure do look sexy, honey. Yeah, you're raising a whore. Careful. Watch this. If somebody says you're trying to go secular, I say, of course I am. That's the whole point. Then you got Sheila Walsh considering her newer albums. Newsweek says, artfully mixed in the sacred, you know, Jesus words and sexy. Nasty woman, okay? 17-year-old girl from Texas said, I'd like to share a testimony concerning my experience with Christian rock music. I had listened to this music with my friends and at church social functions for several years before I got my own CD recorded by a famous artist. Buying that CD was the biggest mistake of my life. Under its influence, my moral convictions began to dissolve, and I allowed myself to become involved in a relationship with a boy from my church against my parents' wishes. When we were together, we listened to Christian and soft rock music, and it was all sensuous and destroyed my inhibitions. I'm so ashamed of what happened. The music made me rebellious and pulled me away from my family. I thank God that I can say today that I've not listened to this harmful music for several months now, and I feel a freedom I have not experienced before. Good testimony. Good testimony. Be careful. You get the devil slick. I mean, he's been deceiving people for 6,000 years. Like, he's real good at what he does. Be careful. Finally, you got M-U-S-I. Needs to be inspirational, not degrading. Godly music will be expressive of the peace that accompanies the Christian life. It's not; it won't emphasize the clamor and the confusion and the din and turmoil of the world. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And the parallel version here of Ephesians and Colossians, it says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Once again, it's something you can sing to God. God, I want to sing to you. I want to praise you. Okay? And that's Audio Adrenaline and DC Talk. They're the tour group for, what is it, Liberty University. When this was, of course, in the late 80s, and I don't know if they're a group anymore, but they were the tour group for Liberty University. And an extremely loud and incessant heavy bass beat was the predominant trademark for both bands for the entire evening. And that was from Christian Conscience magazines. The musicians of Audio Adrenaline stirred up the crowd as they thrashed their heads around and bounced around the stage to their hard rock music. There was virtually no self-control near the stage. This crowd was high on the loud music. It's a typical rock concert. Typical rock concert. Nothing Christian about it. It's filthy. Then you got POD, Payable on Death. You know, rap core is a relatively new style of music that sets rapped lyrics, usually screamed, to the sounds of heavy metal. No, I'm not going to play you a sample of this. The group originally had received little support from CCM, Contemporary Christian Music, and quite a bit of criticism when it toured each year as a part of the Ozfest. Really, Ozzy Osbourne. Prides himself in being demon-possessed, bites heads off bats, blah, 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 all that other stuff. Really, so this is a Christian group that tours with Ozfest. And they're shocked. Don't judge me. But over the years, the band screamed its way into the hearts of rowdy crowds. Suddenly, POD was on the cover of HM Heavy Metal magazine and was featured in the more cautious CCM. The group's attitude was, oh yeah, now you down POD, where was you before? Okay. Don't they look that happy that they're saved? What a face. You know what I mean? Look like the pride, the arrogance, the in-your-face type. That's not godly, but they're a Christian group, right? Okay? To use words or music that's opposite of the peace that passeth understanding is to wrongfully represent what Christ came to give us. Okay? It should be inspirational. Finally tonight, M-U-S-I and then C stands for clear, not confused or disguised. Godly music will contain lyrics and instrumentation that are full of clarity, beauty and dignity, worthy in the praise and worship of God. The genre will not cloud or confuse the message. 1 Corinthians 14 says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So God teaches us good music has a quality of being clear. Christianity Today commented that CCM sales are slumping because CCM performers lack spiritual commitment and meaningful lyrics. It's become nothing but garbage. There's a wonderful group, Under Oath. Don't they look glad they're saved? Some Christian songs today are so veiled in terms of spiritual content that their meaning is lost to all but the most imaginative. Okay? Amy Grant. Okay? The only difference between her love songs and those of Olivia Newton-John is often that Grant's pronouns come with capital letters. Okay? So here's a song, right? I'm not going to play the whole thing, but watch how she sings about Jesus as a lover. He's not your lover, he's your savior, he's your king, he's your creator. But she's going to lower it to where you sing about Jesus as a lover. This is the song, we'll just play a little bit of it. Okay. Did you notice in the song, you could sing that song to someone, or you could sing it quote unquote. She said, oh, I'm singing it to the Lord, but there was nothing about God in it. That cheapens the music, cheapens the song. Anytime, look, I don't, at any rate, it's amazing to me. Christianity Today, many singers have softened their Christian message in an effort to cross over into the secular marketplace, but many now say that practice has damaged their credibility with Christian audiences while blunting their impact on secular customers. And that's a violation where God says, don't be conformed to this world. What are you hiding? Well, I don't want to mention Jesus too much, or they might get offended. Well then, really? Your friends aren't that way, are they? You know what I mean? As far as you don't, but that's a whole mentality. Michael W. Smith, very popular. I heard him a long time ago. He says, I know if I'm too blatant about my Christianity and talk about Jesus, I won't succeed. But hey, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a singer. That's his attitude. Michael Card says here, the lyrics of a good number of the songs don't say anything specifically Christian. They may have some moral message, but not a lot of the big songs are identifiably Christian. What happens to the message when we start getting the music to as many people as possible? In other words, you dumb the music down to get a bigger audience, right? He said, so now what happens? There's an essential part of the gospel that's not ever going to sell. The gospel's good news, but it's also bad news. You're a sinner and you're hopeless. That's how come you need to get saved. At least he's got that right. Amen? At least he said, how do you market? You're a sinner. People don't like being told that. They like being told how wonderful they are. That's a part of the message, too. And if that's taken out, and it frequently is in Christian music, it ceases to be the gospel. I'm glad he's at least got that straight. Okay? Here we go. Do we take drugs to win addicts to Christ? I think the answer, you know the answer, right? Do we use foul language to witness to those who curse? No. Do we steal to identify with robbers? No. Do we draw lewd pictures to present Christ to the pornographer? No. Then why do we use carnal music to gain a hearing with the world? It doesn't make any sense what's taking place in the name of Christianity. None. We don't do anything else that way. Clear, not confused. So it's going to contain lyrics and instrumentation that are full of clarity, beauty, and dignity, worthy in the praise and worship of God. The genre will not cloud or confuse the message. I think, yeah, I took that out. Now the atmosphere of church is entertainment. Okay? Everything's more like a movie theater and a stadium. It's no longer like a church house. I don't have a problem with sloped floors. You know, like take Patuxent. You know, that used to be a movie theater. Then it was Jehovah's Witness place. And then they bought it. Okay, they got stuck with that. So don't down them too bad. But Connors wasn't trying to be worldly. He was just trying to get a building that fit. Okay? But there are people who design churches now with sloped floors. They want the movie theater seats. Because it's all about entertainment now. It's all about entertainment. Look at that. The lighting. Okay? Everything's, you know, multi-layer, all this, circular. I mean, they've got platforms with pastors that'll preach on them, and then they slowly go around. I mean, it revolves while they... don't put me on one of those. Get sick. At any rate, it's changed the whole idea of church, okay? There's the largest church in the world, Joel Osteen. I believe his church is in Houston now. It's 80,000 people. Every morning, 45-minute rock concert, and he comes out and does his little devotional. People are drugged on the music. Biggest church in the world, okay? 80,000 people. Now, we're going to take a poll. When do you want to have church? What would you like in church? You do not, oh, we don't want preaching. We want drama. Can you act out the Bible stories and have a drama team and a rock music? It's all about entertainment. What do you want? Where in the world? God, I love this. God never says, how do you want to do church? God designed preaching. God has music that pleases Him. And guess what? If you don't like what's right, then God says that lets me know I'm a rebel, right? If I don't want what God says is good, then I'm the one that needs to get right. God doesn't need to change. Why should God have to fit me? What do I know, right? But anyways, that's all that's happening. There's Rick Warren. He's supposed to be America's pastor now. He took the place of Billy Graham and all of this, there he is. He said, worship has nothing to do with the style or volume or speed of a song. God loves all kinds of music because He invented it all. So He invented rock music and rap music, huh? That's their philosophy. Fast and slow, loud and soft, old and new. You probably don't like it all, but God does. Okay, that's a direct quote from Screwball. Okay? Once again, the whole atmosphere of church changes. You got to have, you know, a coffee shop and name it Revival Grounds or Sunbucks, you know, or look, that's nothing like what church used to look like. Dark screens. It's all about entertainment. It's all about marketing. It's all about image. And with that, the philosophy of the music comes in, okay? All of this. So, let's analyze things here. You have your pre-modern era. That's going to be up to about almost the 1800s. Absolute truth was found through God's Word. Then you have the 1800s up to about the 1970s, and they call that the modern era. Mankind is armed with rationalism and science, and he's able to access absolute truth. We're almost done. Just stick with me here. Now we're in the postmodern era. That's what they call today. We're in the postmodern era. How do they describe it? Truth is not revealed or found, but rather created. In other words, you make your own truth. If it's good, if you determine it's right, then it's right. If you think it's wrong, then it's wrong. You create your own truth. Absolute truth is a fable or a failed experiment. If you believe the Bible is God's word, then you must be mentally unstable and mentally ill. That's postmodern era thinking. Okay? So, here we go. Polls after 9/11 found only 22% of Americans believed that there was absolute moral truth. 33% claimed to be evangelical Christians, and 53% consider religion to be very important in their lives, but half of all religious people in America don't believe that there's absolute moral truth. It's literally the way you think it is. It's up to you. Okay, so here we go. Paradigm and Market Research reveals unchurched Harry and Mary are not interested in truth, therefore they don't react well to thus saith the Lord. Don't talk about theology or doctrine. They're not interested in the future, including heaven. Don't talk to them about their eternal destiny. It's futile. This is out of Rick Warren's book. There's a reason I preach the way I do. And my wife has always said, hon, when we have visitors here, they duck or pucker. You know what I mean? But, okay, let me just pause here for a second. I could be pretty smooth. I do what I do on purpose. I want the people in our church. I realize the way I preach. Yeah, we've had people here leave during the middle of the sermon. I realize that. I know how to tone it down. I understand vocabulary. We could make it real smooth. I don't want to do that. I want to keep it old-timey. I want to keep it just from the book. And if somebody's here and they're looking for truth, I want them to say, you know what? I could find it here. That book is preached. But somebody that's a rebel, I hope they do feel, you've heard me say that, I hope they do feel uncomfortable. We want to do what we do, but this is how they market. This is how they say, if you're going to get people in your church, tone it down. Don't preach doctrine. Don't tell them, thus saith the Lord. Just help them feel good about themselves. Watch that. What else they say? They want to feel better about themselves and have purpose. Don't tell them that they're sinners. They enjoy the pleasures of the world. Don't teach about reforming the life and avoiding sinful traps set by the devil. Don't mention the devil. That's negative. You see what I mean? That's what I'm just telling you. That's what they tell people. If you want more people in your church, this is what you got to do. We're almost done. So you get this entertainment philosophy. And everything's about... So when people come to church, and it's not like what they've done all week, binge-watched and everything else, now they're actually in church, they don't like it. So they do what? Well, we'll find a church that matches our lifestyle. We're not looking for a church to find God. We want something where we can feel like we're in our living room. Okay? The non-denominational market is failing. They bring in thousands of people, but the people are not staying. Some leave searching for substance, and here's what's sad, some leave believing that there's no power in religion. They've heard the rock concert, they heard the little devotional ditty, and they've come to the conclusion, I don't need this. Isn't that sad? To get just enough of the truth to where you don't want the real thing, right? That's what I'm watching happening with a non-denominational crop. Jeremiah 6:14 says, they've healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there's no peace. This is the sign of a false prophet, slightly healing. George Gallup says, we're having a revival of feelings, but not of knowledge of God. The church today is more guided by feelings than conviction, and we value enthusiasm more than informed commitment. Gary Gilley, he wrote, this little church went to market. And it says, is the modern church reaching out or selling out? It says, fun has become the criteria by which large number of people are choosing the church they'll attend. Many are all too happy to sacrifice doctrine for a good time. Many will endure outright heresies to enjoy a pleasant experience or feel the presence of God, even if that presence is generated by mood-altering methods more akin to manipulation than worship. Indeed, it's altogether likely that some are willingly being manipulated because they enjoy Christianity light. Okay? I thought that was well put. All right? We're getting ready to listen to some music. Listen to how they use the progressions to generate a mood or a spirit. Because when they come to church, when they leave, they got to feel like they did something. Right? So, got to feel spooky somehow. I'll show it to you here in just a second. So, how about this song? Okay?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
That's mood stuff, right?
I want to see you.
Now I'm going to say it again.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes.
It's all about creating a mood and an atmosphere. Okay? Praise and worship songs fall short. They analyzed more than 1,000 praise and worship songs. 60 of the praise and worship songs offered no doctrinal ground or explanation for the praise. However, hymns from the hymn book, like we sing, nearly 100% of them had developed some aspect of doctrine or explanation for the praise. What do we sing tonight? I sing the mighty power of God that make the mountains rise. Right? You're learning doctrine when you sing, not open my eyes. Goofy, if you compare the two, they're like night and day. But that's what's called church. How about this? The brain works by looking at different pieces of information and deciding if they're different or the same. Largely, composers in the Baroque and classical periods would play a theme and then repeat or change the theme. And I wish I could show you that tonight. We could listen to some classical music and show you, but I don't have time for that, but I can do it sometime if you want me to, okay? Here we go. The repetition is only done once in classical music. More than one repetition causes the music to become displeasing and also causes a person to either enter a state of subconscious thinking, in other words, hypnotized, or a state of anger. In other words, if I repeat the same thing over and over again, you either shut me off and your mind floats, or you start getting frustrated, right? Like, I got it the first time, right? Why are you saying this to me 10 times? He said, everybody responds this way with repetition. Watch closely. The human mind shuts down after 3 or 4 repetitions of a rhythm, or a melody, or a harmonic progression. Furthermore, excessive repetition causes people to release control of their thoughts. What's that called? That's called hypnotism. You go into, right? Your brain shuts down. If you repeat something too much with me, I don't mind reviewing for a test, but I can only review for a test for a little bit. Then after that, I start going, my mind needs activity. Watch this. Rhythmic repetition is used by people who are trying to push certain ethics in their music. So listen to the repetition in this, because this is now happening so much. Repetition, okay? Why? I got it the first time. And then it just goes on and on. It's the same thing. When you hear things that are repeated, it should be, why are they doing that? That's because there's an agenda with the music. Listen to this. Now here, you've got a chord progression. That's one. Back. That's two. Same thing, same chording. That's the third time. But it's going back and forth with the chords. Okay? Y'all hear the repetition? Watch this. Going back. Same thing. Okay? Little alter, now it's back to same. All the music is that way. It's over and over and over again. If you thought that was bad, here we go. You ready for the closing illustration tonight? You ready? Watch. Like Jehovah. It goes on and on and on. That's a very popular song, too, by the way, in non-denominational churches, because CCM. That is what is happening in the name of Christianity. If you don't go to an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, good hymn-singing church. When I ask pastors in their church, how many songs does your church sing in a year? How, you know, in this songbook, what's the number of songs in here? I think six. Okay, 588. Okay, so there's almost 600 songs in this book. I said, how many songs do you sing till you start repeating them? The average church sings 90 to 80 songs, and then they start singing them over out of 600. Okay? Do you know how many is on our song list? Doesn't make us better than anybody. I put a lot of music into the services. We sing almost 300. We sing just a little under half the songbook. You know why I do that? To try to get as much music to you as possible that's good. I don't want to just sing a few songs and then repeat them. And there's more I'd like to learn in here. Amen? Good songs. I don't want what the world has. I want to keep our church the same, which is why I teach a lesson like this. Okay? You should be able to hear a few things and go, I don't like that. I don't want that in my house. I don't want that in my church. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. It's just the day and age we live in. And you know what? I thank the Lord for all of you. I thank the Lord for our church. Amen. And when we sing those old songs, you ought to praise the Lord for them. You may not know them, but look then at what we're singing. Look at the words that we're singing. Just that's a beautiful thing. Just the doctrine that's being taught in the music. None of this repetitive stuff. Eyes open, da-da. I mean, it's goofy, spooky junk. Okay? I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. When I had questions, you gave me men of God that could help me and teach me. Now, Lord, all that we're watching happen in the name of Christianity.